Okay, let's begin Parshas Va'era. Parshas Va'era. Next week, I'll have to keep the emails, try to put it on the email list when exactly the shiur. I'm going to try to give a shiur next week. I'm going to America on Tuesday night. So it'll either be Sunday night or Monday night. Those are the only two nights we have. So I'm going to try to give it one of those nights. I give a shiur earlier on Monday night, so the question is if I can get back in time. But I'm going to try, either Sunday or Monday night, we'll announce it. And then the following week, I get back Wednesday afternoon. So the shiur that week might be Thursday night. We might just push it off one night the following week to just to give a couple hours for the make sure I get everything settled. So let's plan on next week earlier in the week and the following week one night later, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, Parshas Va'era. And much of what we're going to say tonight, one could save this and put it in the Va'era file or in the Pesach file. You know, much of hopefully will be a material for the Haggadah. But there is overlap. We will try to have some new ideas, though, those of you who have heard the Haggadah Shiurim in the past. Let's start off, though, first with something well-known, something that's always good to review, because the message is deep, and maybe add on one makar that is not as well-known. Let's go to Rashi in beginning of Paraches. Beginning of Paraches. Says the Torah. Paraches Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Emor al Aaron. Talk to Aaron, as Aaron HaKohen was the one that did the first two makos. Neteyat yatcha b'matecha, al hana'aros hal yarim v'hal ha'gamim. Take your staff, Aaron HaKohen, dam and tzfardeya, hakaras hatov. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't perform these makos. V'ha'al es hatzfardeim al eretz Mitzrayim. And bring up the tzfardeim, who according to most mefarshim mean frogs. The Ebenezer has a day that it means crocodiles. Makes it seem a little bit more ferocious, not just frogs, but you know, if you have a frog, we think frogs. Frogs are frogs. You think about it, some beautiful haggadahs that have some of the pictures. You see, some of these were disgusting, huge toads. It wasn't a pleasant. It was a maka. Do you remember? It wasn't just a few frogs. It was a real maka. So v'alas hasfardim. Yed Aaron es yadol me'mi Mitzrayim. So Aaron sticks out his hand over the waters of Mitzrayim. Vata'al hatzfardeya. The tzfardeya goes up. Vatachas es eretz Mitzrayim. And it covers the land. So Rashi, according to Chazal, again, pick up on the fact that all of a sudden we have singular. Vata'al hatzfardeya. The tzfardeya, the frog. The frog went up. What do you mean the frog went up? The frogs. Just said tzfardeim, plural. What do you mean the frog? So Rashi quotes, Vata'al hatzfardeya. Pasuk Beis, Tzfardeya achas haisa, there was one frog, v'hayu makinosa, and they hit it. They were hitting the frog. V'hi matezes nechilim nechilim. And the frog, every time it was split, it was hit, it split, and it multiplied. That's what happened with the frog. They hit the frog, and it became two frogs. They hit two frogs, it became four frogs. And they kept hitting it, zeo midrasho. Okay, but the Rashi says the first pshat that he gives, which is the Medrash, and that is there was one frog, and every time they hit it, then it became bigger. Asks the Stipler, well known Stipler. Asks the Stipler, every time they hit the frog, it turned into more frogs. They hit the frog again, they hit more frogs, and more frogs, and more frogs. So let's ask a question: why they keep hitting the frog? Just stop hitting the frog already. You see, every time, there are only six frogs in Mitzrayim. If they would have stopped for a minute and said, oh, there's only six frogs here. If they wouldn't have hit the frog, there wouldn't have been 12 frogs. So why didn't they just stop hitting the frog? Says the Stipler in source number one, in the Birchas Peretz. Atala Tzfardeya, he quotes Rashi, quote from the Medrash Tanchuma, line 3. V'hine kisharo ha-Mitzriyim ha-Makinosa. When the Mitzrayim saw when they hit it, ki al yidei ze mosif alahatis tzfardeim harbe, right, when they saw it kept going into more frogs, halo hadas nosein, logic would dictate, shetzrichim lahafzik vilahakosa, stop hitting it, kidei shalo harbo zashratzim alalu, just stop it already. But what? They couldn't. And they didn't. Because that's what anger does to a person. When we're angry and we have the midah of kas overtake us, we are out of control. And we do irrational acts. And it could be staring at us in the face. Stop hitting the frog! But it doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. We're going to keep hitting the frog. Even though it doesn't make sense. And I see every time I hit it, you know, it becomes worse. Right? It's like a child that's upset that goes up to their room and they dump out their whole cubby. They clothes and they mess up. In 10 minutes, they got to clean it all up. Think about to clean everything up and find... No, that's anger. You can't think straight. You can't think straight. You act irrationally. Avoma, line 5. Avoma midas hakas omeres. What does Kaz say? Adarabba, just the opposite. Mikimash omosifa lahata, just the opposite. More thoughts? I'm going to hit it harder. I'm going to hit it harder and harder. That's what it says. Kol shekein v'kol shekein. Shetzrikam lahosif lehisnaki mimeno. You have to take revenge. Ulahakosa kachol she'efshar. V'kol she'hosifa lahatiz. Hosifa lichos. More frogs? More anger. V'chamasam ba'arabahem. We're out of control. V'kachazer chalila. And it goes over and over. Hey, mosifa lahakosa lehisnakim. Over here. Just put them on the edge so people see. Hey, mosifa lahosif lehisnakim. V'yosifa lahatiz. More and more. Skip a few words. The middle of line 8. V'cheinu b'chol makom shekoasin. Every time there is anger. Ki im yishmu cher pasamba lo yashivu yishtaka hadava la'at la'at. If we would just stop and think and listen to those talking to us, calming us down, everything would dissipate. And everything would be benachas ruach, and everything will get calmer. Ava kashim yishiva l'kashinegda harimosav l'hoshav l'uvas okein v'cheina. But if we don't calm down, we just act in a way that afterwards we are really sorry for. Vatal hatzvardeya, there was only one frog, but they kept hitting it, and they were out of control. That's what anger does. It's a beautiful usage of this concept. Again, we could have a whole shiur about kas, but just one other application where this comes up. Again, we spoke in the past a little bit about trying to control it. We spoke about one of the gedolim who had the kas jacket. Right, whenever he felt himself getting angry, I have to go put on my kas jacket. He kept his kasa jacket up in his closet on the third floor of his house. I'm really angry, I'm not allowed to get angry without my kasa jacket. So he goes up the steps and he makes sure not to skip any steps. He goes up one by one by one. And of course, by the time he gets to the third floor to get his kasa jacket, he doesn't need his kasa jacket anymore. Just to get out of the situation, just to calm down, he had that jacket. Says the Rambam. Which Rambam? The Rambam does talk about kas in Hilchos Deos. You do not have that on the sheet. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Deos where he says that every midah in life we're supposed to be on the middle. The middle, the Shvil Azov. We shouldn't be too stingy. We shouldn't give too much stakka. We shouldn't do too happy. We shouldn't be too sad. We should be in the middle except for two midos. There are two midos which we have to go to an extreme for. They're related. Those two are gaiva and kas. Those two are related, because if I'm the center of my world, then when I get frustrated, I get angry. Those are the only two. Everything else is the Shvil Azov. But writes the Rambam in a letter. It's a fascinating letter printed in the Igros HaRambam, a letter that the Rambam wrote to a Rabbi Ovadia Hager. Rabbi Ovadia Hager is in source number 2. There was a Muslim convert. He converted from Islam. And he writes a letter to the Rambam that he's very upset because everybody around him is screaming at him. Everybody around him is making fun of him. They're saying, oh, what you used to be, exactly what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. Right? The Torah says 36 times, you're not allowed to take advantage of a ger. Right? Not too many other things that say 36 times in the Torah. Maybe Shabbos is close. But 36 times, the Gemara in Bava Ben Tzvi says, it says you have to not take advantage of the ger. Ki gerim ha'yisim beres Mitzrayim. So this ger writes to the Rambam, I don't know what to do. Al elu sheila shlishis, al elu yishma elim sha'amarta, that told you, ata, einon ovdei avodah zara, v'yom lecha rabcha, ki ein ovdei avodah zara. They call you an ovdei avodah zara, and they're screaming at you, and they're getting angry at you, and they're making you feel bad. V'heishiv oscha shaloka hogan, and they answered you improperly, atshin is atzavta elibcha v'nechlamta, until you got tremendously depressed and embarrassed. V'kara alecha aneik sil ki ivalto. Said the Rambam, let me give you some chizuk. Tshuva, line 10, where it says line 10. Elu, first of all, they're wrong. Elu ha'yishma elam einon ovdei avodah zara klal. This is a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Shitas HaRambam is that Islam is not avodah zara. Islam is not avodah zara. They believe in one God. They're monotheists. Right? They might believe in a false prophet, but it's not avodah zara, says the Rambam. Right? Other religions that believe in trinities and people who are gods, that might be avodah zara. But when it comes to Islam, the Rambam sheet is that it is not avodah zara. So first of all, they're screaming at you that you used to be avodah zara. You were never avodah zara. You were never. You were a Muslim. So you were never. Elu eshmelam. Ain't only avodah zara klal. V'kfar nichrasam yipienu miliban. Umiachdim lakel yichud karoi. Right? They daven 5 times a day. They just have extra flexible tashlumin laws. Right? They can miss a week and they make it up 35 times the next day. We can only make it up the next tefillah. Right, so that's the difference. Right? Yichud she'ein bo dofi. Right? They are miyached. They also believe in one God. V'lo mevnei she'im is shakran aleinu b'chazvin. They're not lying to us. That's what they really believe. So number one, says the Rambam, you were never over the Anovid Avodah Zarah, so therefore they're wrong. Number two, now let me get into the issue of that they make fun of you, and they scream at you, and they get angry at you for what you used to do. They call you fool. Avira gadola hi biyado. That's terrible. V'chait gadol chata. And they are doing a tremendous sin, reminding somebody of his previous ways. V'karov be'enai sheshogegu. The rabbi that said something to you like this, or some rabbis that also talk like this, I have to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was a shogeg. V'roi lo levakish mimcha mechila. He must ask mechila from you. Afa pisha atat talmido. Even though you're his student, he has to ask you mechila. V'yachar kach yotzum v'yizak v'yispalel. Ulai yachaper lo hakel. Wow, ulai, right? That's one of the most heart-wrenching tefillos that we say on Yom Kippur night. Ulai yachos amaniva evyon ulai yirachem. It's an ulai. I don't even know if we're going to get rachmanis. Not vadai. Ulai, maybe. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on us. That's what the Rambam says about the people who made fun of him. They have to fast, they have to daven. Maybe Kodesh Baruch Hu will give them a kapara. But here's the line that's important for us, on line 8. The Rambam said that, hey, they're screaming at you that you're an Ovid, you used to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Said the Rambam, number one, you were never an Ovid Avodah Zarah. And you know what I'm going to tell you now, says the Rambam? They're being over the Avodah Zarah right now. What do you mean? They should realize that they're getting angry. You were never an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and they're being Ovid Avodah Zarah right now by getting angry. Because what does it mean? Because when you're Bekas, when a person is angry, they're worshipping themselves. I'm in the center of the world. Something didn't work out for me, so therefore, you know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in the middle, I would say, okay, Gamza L'Tova. Call David Rachman al-Tav Avid. What can I do? Kodesh Baruch Hu's in the middle. Right? I got to the bus 2 minutes late. Right? So I missed it. And I missed my appointment. I'm sitting in trap. Whatever. Kala Kois Gilo, whatever it is. That's the chap of the Rambam. Number one, you were never on Ovid Avodah Zarah. And number two, they're screaming at you. They're of the Avodah Zarah. They're the ones that should be looking inside themselves. And then the rest of the Rambam is a beautiful chizuk for the, about Gerim, that, you know, somebody who is a JFB, Jew from birth, has it easy, so to speak. But, you know, he says on the middle of line 17, they called you a fool. Tema gadol. How is that possible? Adam sheiniach aviv umolato umalchus amo v'yadam anatuya. They left the nation that's overpowering us. The haven bein libo, and he understood. Uba v'nidvak ba'umazu. He came. Somebody who comes to be part of the Jewish nation. Who, the lowly Jewish nation, the Yadasha Dasa Das Emes Vatzet Hevehikir Darke Yisrael, the Yadasha Kala Dasas Genuvos Midasa, and they realize that the Jewish religion is the only true one, and every other religion it just takes from us and adds to us, etc. Skip, Va'avar B'derech HaKodesh V'nechon Atachas Kanfei Ashchina, how he describes a ger. V'nis Avik Ba'afar Ragli Moshe Rabbeinu V'Rabban L'Kol V'Naviyin V'Chavit B'mitzvosav U'Nuso Libo L'Karval Hashem. He says, how could you make fun of such a person? Says the Rambam, you don't get a greater praise of a person's life than what the Rambam says right now. So that's Kas. The stipler says, just stop hitting the frog. But they couldn't do it. Kala koes ki ilu obed avodazar. Okay. Next, back to the beginning of the parsha. Beginning of the parsha, as we know, has the Dalid Lashonos of Geula. I was going to put it on, but there just wasn't enough room on the pages. Maybe next year. It's a great Mesha Chachma at the beginning of the Parsha. Maybe we'll mention it in the Haggadah this year in a couple of months. Of the Dalal Lashonos of Geula. But we're going to focus on one Pasuk at the beginning. What about the beginning? The Pasuk says in the Lashonos. Let's just find it here. Look at Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin. I'll take you for a nation, and I'll be for you for a God. V'datem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. And I will take you out from the sivlos Mitzrayim. So let's read the words of Rav Zevin. Rav Zevin always gives us something to think about. Sivlos Mitzrayim, again, this is not the Pshuto Shel Mikra, but he says he had to take them out from the sivlos of Mitzrayim. Says Rav Zevin in L'Torah Ulamoadim. Source number 3. Kishem sheyeshna mitzvas anashim mulumada, kach yeshna aveiras anashim mulumada. Just like there's a concept of doing mitzvahs by rote, without thinking, So too, there's a concept of doing averis by rote, without thinking. Davar sha'adam oseh lo mitoch his oris pnimis, when we act not out of an inner awakening, v'lo mitoch hergesh v'kavana, not because I'm focused and I want to do something. Ela pi hergo, a lot of things we do in life is just, we're on autopilot. Right? We just go. We just do. Right? The opposite of what the Mesil Sesharim talks about at the beginning of the Sefer, the first midah. What's the first midah that we have to have zahirus? Meaning stopping and thinking. But we just, the Yetzirah says, no, don't think, just go. Just go, autopilot. So, says Rav Zevin, we do many things on autopilot. Harizem maisa anashim ulumada. But says Rav Zevin, v'yesh bazem maila v'chisaron bein b'misa bein ba'aveira. There's something positive and something negative about doing mitzvahs by rote. And there's something positive and negative about doing averis by rote. What does that mean? Be mitzvah. Let's talk about mitzvahs first. Hama'ala, what's the great ma'ala of doing a mitzvah by rote? Not that you do it by rote. Obviously, you should do it with feeling. But, kisha hurgal kol kach b'maisa tov, when we accustom ourselves so deeply, acha hergal nasa teva etzlo. When I wake up in the morning, I just go to shul. It's like I can't not go to shul. Right? That's a good teva. That's a good rote. A person who can't eat, Frand writes in one of his English books, one of his svarim, he says, he remember when he was an Onain. He was his mother, I think, one of his relatives, and he had to take a long flight. He had to take a long flight across country to before the Kfura. So he said, every time he was about to bite into something, he was about to take a bracha. He's like, oh, I can't do that. So on the one hand, his point was such a musser. He's like, he was upset at himself, he writes, because I'm not even thinking about brachas. I just do it so automatically. Right, well, if we really think about our bracha, we would say, oh, I can't make a bracha now. But we don't think. We just make the bracha. Barachata. Right? So he was saying it as a musser that, oh, it's terrible. You can look at it just the opposite. We're so ingrained, we can't eat without making a bracha. It's so automatic. We pick something up, we have to make a bracha. Right, we can't. We walk into it. So that's a good rote that we have by mitzvos. So that's on the one hand. Sha'yesh b'kach aruva sha'afilu b'zman shalotielo sha'asa kosher. Even at a time when I'm not inspired, mikol makom ma'isa tov yasa. I'm not so in such an inspired mood, but you know what? I'm going to do the good act. Ukein sh'amar b'Yerushalmi, like the Yerushalmi says, al echad amarayim, like about one of the amarayim, sha'ya omer, shu machzik tova legufo. He says shkayach to his guf, shekshe magil modim korei atzmo. He just goes down by modim. It's amazing. You think about Shmona Esrei, all of a sudden we're in our own world and we realize we're banging our chest. Like, wow, I'm at the Slachlanu already. It's pretty good. Right? Right? Just hopefully not on Friday night. Because then we start scratching our chest, looking around, making sure nobody noticed. Right? That's the, right? It's automatic. Right? Our body just does it. That's a good thing about mitzvahs. V'hachisaron who on line 11, but obviously there's a major chisaron there too. Shemitocha hergol eina osa mitzvah ela b'chitzonius, subalichius. We do the mitzvah without any feeling, without any inspiration. Like it says in the Tochacha, that's by mitzvahs. There's a great thing and there's a negative thing. So to Averis. Averis have the same thing. There's a great thing about doing an Aver Behergol. What's so great? This is a tough one. What's so great about doing an Aver Behergol? Klomar, kishaina osaha aver mitok kavanas iser. When we speak Lashon Hara, are we really doing a lahachas? We really hate the other person. Most of our lashon hara is—it just comes out. It just comes. It's so ingrained in us to talk about other people. And so we cannot. That's what we do. That's what we do. So that's a good thing about doing averes by rote, because we're not. It's like we're all tinuk shenishmas, right? Not really, but that's what it's like. But kol shekein shlo lahachas, el stam kacha. Hisragel v'kashlo lifrosh me'hergol u'ketinok shenishma l'bein ha'akim. He says that right. Come on, I could have kavan one. The whole benching and running but stopping before I say an asher yatzar. I'm talking about brachas. I'm just giving those examples. But anything, it's so ingrained in us not to be perfect in certain areas. But that's a good thing in a sense, because without not doing a lahachas. Vade sheinzu maila b'muvan hechlati. Obviously, not such a great. Elo biyachas, but relative. Klomar yosir tov mizeh she'osa b'kavanes yisa b'chiyas p'nimis. Right, it's much better than Rachmano Litzlan, somebody who knows and dafka says, I'm going to do this aveira. Lahachas. Right, chas v'shalom. Right, aval, but says Rav Zevin, obviously, there's a terrible, terrible, tragic attribute to this too. Aval gedolim izach chisaron sheish b'davar. But the chisaron, the negative and the aver side of it is very extreme. Why? We don't even realize things are wrong. Says the Gemara, avar v'shana hutshalo, hutshalaka da'edech elanasis lo keheter. Right? We're just so used to it. Ha'hergol nasa teva v'nasis lo keheter. Right? Hergol, it becomes teva. Becomes teva. Right? So that's what makes it even worse. Right? We don't even realize we're doing something wrong. What does this have to do with anything? So what does Rav Zevin say? Last five lines. Ukshara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyisrael Nishtarshu B'Shib Mitzrayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that we were on the 49th level of Tumah, and if we would have lasted one more second in Mitzrayim, we would never have been redeemed. What does that mean? That we would have lost being identified as Zera Avraham. There was a promise Hashem made to redeem Zera Avraham from an Eretz Lahem, and that we wouldn't be recognized as them anymore. So He wouldn't have to redeem us. We wouldn't be Zera Avraham anymore. If we would have stayed in there one more second, Hashem Hergel Nasa Teva, the Kfar Lo Ichbas Lahem calls that. We didn't even care about it. V'hein Yecholim B'Nakel Lisboles HaAvdus. We tolerated the Avdus. We tolerated our situation. We were so vel it. The kasha yilam lifrosh yimena, we couldn't get out. So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the fact that we were being sovel Mitzrayim. The fact that we were in a state of tolerating it. We didn't think it was bad. We didn't think there was anything wrong with where we were. That's how bad it was. The entire Jewish nation were being so veiled their situation and say, kacha, this is it. Nasis lo keheter. Votseisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Obviously, when it comes, this is by Averis, we have to try to have the opposite attitude by mitzvahs. We have to try to get both positives by mitzvahs. Number one, making it such a, being misragel to mitzvahs that it becomes part of us, but never making it become a hergel that we lose the feeling. So Thorn mentioned many tshuva drushes, or that time of year, from the Chassid Yavetz. Chassid Yavetz writes that there's a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, describes, when B'nai Yisrael went into the Beis HaMikdash, the gate that one goes into the Beis HaMikdash was not allowed to be the same gate that one went out of the Beis HaMikdash. You go in one gate, you got to go out a different gate. That's what the pasuk says. So the Chassid Yavetz, I think it's in Pirkei Avos, says, why? What's the big deal? Let's say you parked on the north side. Well, you got to go all the way around. It's millions of Jews. It's going to take you know, how long to get around? You know, imagine your camel's going to be parked in and you're not going to get out. Right? So what's the message? Says the Chassid Yavetz. Because the Beis HaMikdash, we want you to be full of awe and never lose it. Ever. You go in one gate, you see something a second time, it already doesn't, it's not the same. It doesn't give you the same hergish, the same feeling if you see something a second time. The first time you, go to a museum, you go to any tourist attraction the first time. Wow. The second time, I've been here already, I'm used to it. You can't go out the same gate. We don't want you to lose the feeling by the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chassid Yavetz goes on and says, maybe that's one of the, I'm not sure if he says this or others add to this, that's why we say in, David Hashem Ori, David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti meis Hashem, shifti beveis Hashem koyim echayayin, lachsos b'nom Hashem ulevakar beichalo. Says the Mefarshim, why is the first half of the pasuk shivti beveis Hashem? Yeshiva, he wants to sit in the Beis Hashem, he wants to be there forever. It's a yeshiva. Yeshiva means keva, sitting there. But the end of the pasuk says, levaker beichalo, he wants to visit, a bikur. Right? Bikur, levaker beichalo. So does David Melech want to sit there forever, yeshiva, yeshiva shel keva? Or does he want to visit there, levaker beichalo? So the Mefarshim explain exactly our point. No, he wants it to be a yeshiva. He wants to be there forever. He wants it to be so regular and hisraglos that he stays there forever. But he never wants to lose the feeling of a bikur. Never wants to lose the feeling of a visit. Right? Somebody's on vacation. They only have 6 days. They got to use every second. It's exciting. You wake up. What are you going to do? You plan it out. The itinerary. Everything. You got to wake up late today? You only have 6 days here. How can you wake up late? How can you relax? Right? We only have 120 years here. That's all we have. It's a bikur. Levaker beichalo. So David HaMelech wanted the yeshiva, but he wanted to have the feeling of the bikur. So, mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, they had it by averos. But the positive, the flip side, is to use it by mitzvahs. Okay, good. The next thought I heard, as we mentioned last week, it could be classified as a charifus, as a very sharp ha'ara. I heard in one of my car trips, which I had the schus of taking, Rav Melech Schechter, to and from Borough Park, Zichrono Levracha. So Rav Shachtel's father, so he used to live in Borough Park. When we lived in Borough Park, so for 2 years, I had this chus of driving him back and forth. So, Baruch Hashem, I was paid in Divrei Torah. So the stories in the Divrei Torah that he used to give. So he said the following thought. In Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. Also, two psukim earlier. V'gamani shamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, I heard the crying of b'nei Yisrael, asher mitzrayim ma'avidim osam. That Mitzrayim is torturing them. Ma'avidim osam. Bo'eskor es brisi. I remembered my bris. Said Rav Shechter. Said Rav Melech Shechter. Let's learn a Gemara in Brachas. Daf Hey. Source number four. The Gemara there, if you remember the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Hey, is talking about Yisurin. Chmana Litzlan. Yisurin that people have. So says the Gemara on the third line. Davar zemi taraska til madenu kal v'chomer mishen v'ayin. How do you know that Yisurin cleanse a person? You know it from a kal v'chomer of Shein and Ayin. Shein and Ayin means, the halacha is, if a master knocks out a tooth or an eye of the Eved, he has to set the Eved free. So says Rabbi Yochanan, Uma Shein v'Ayin, Shein echad me'evar av shel adam. If a tooth and an eye is only one limb of a person, Eved yotzei bohen l'cheirus, and if there's Yisurin, if there's pain to the tooth and the eye, the Eved goes free. So Yisurin, Shememarkin, Kolgufo Shel Adam. So Yisurin, which cleanses the whole body of a person, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, surely that will free us from any suffering and cleanse us, and we will go straight to Olam Haba. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's source. Rabbi Yochanan, how do you know that Yisurin or Mamari cleanse the nefesh of a person? You know from Shein V'Ayin. Okay. V'hainu the Reb Shimon ben Lakish, and this is the similar idea said by Reish Lakish. Damar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, Reb Yochanan's Chavrusa, Reb Yochanan's Talmud. Ne'emar bris b'melach, v'ne'emar bris b'yisurin. It says the word bris by salt, and it says the word bris by yisurin. Where? Ne'emar bris b'melach, t'chziv alo sash bris bris, melach bris, right? You know, the bris of salt, you have to have salt by every carbon. V'ne'emar bris b'yisurin, t'chziv eila divrei habris. So it says bris by yisurin, it says bris by salt. Ma bris amr b'melach, just like salt. What does salt do? Melach mimatekes es habasar. Salt keeps and preserves the flesh. So you salt something, it takes out the blood. Ach bris amr b'yisurin yisurin b'markin abadoz kol abanosa shel adam. Just like salt takes care of the meat, so to yisurin take care of the person. As if Shechler, is there any difference between these two sources? Mars is telling you two sources. How do you know Yisurin cleanse a person? Either you know from Shein V'Ayin, if Shein V'Ayin, Kol Shekein, a whole body. Or it's just like salt. Is there any difference? So suggested Rav Shechter, again, he might have been, I think he was quoting one of the earlier Achronim. He says, maybe the difference is if the person does or does not recognize that Yisurin are coming from Hashem. Maybe that's a difference. Why? Because let's say somebody on the street knocks out my Evid's tooth and eye. Does he go free? No. It doesn't go free. It's only because if the master knocks out the tooth and eye. But if somebody else knocks out the tooth and eye, it doesn't go free. But, so says Rav Shechter, according to Rav Yochanan, who learns it from Shein V'Ayin, if the person doesn't realize that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then the Yisurin are not Memari Gufo Shel Adam. But according to Reish Lakish, who says it's like salt, salt works. Salt cleans meat. And if salt cleans meat, Yisurin clean. It doesn't matter if you recognize it at all or not. So says Rav Shechter, now look at the pasuk. V'gamani shamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael. I heard the na'aka, I heard the crying of b'nei Yisrael. Asher Mitzrayim ma'avidim osam. That Mitzrayim are being ma'avid them. Mitzrayim. But Yisrael thought it was the Egyptians. They didn't realize it was part of the divine plan. They thought it was the Mitzrayim. Ayvei, it's Yisurin that they thought was from the Mitzrayim. It shouldn't be Memari Gufo Shel Adam. Vo'ezkar es brisi. But I remember the bris. What's the bris? The bris melach. Reish Lakish is makar. Reish Lakish is makar. Melach is matekas, even if you don't recognize it. Even if you don't realize it, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, that's why. Mitzrayim Avidam Asad, don't worry about it. Vo'ezkar es brisi. So I remember Reish Lakish is makar, and in that way, Yisurin would work, and I could take him out, even though it's not a full recognition. Okay, it's one thought from Rav Melech Shechter, Zichrono Livracha. Peraches Pasuk Yudches. Peraches Pasuk Yudches. So we get into the Makas. We have Dam, we have Tzfardeya, we have Kinim. Right, we have the first seven makas in this parsha, and then we have Arov. There we have Arov. So Paraches Pasuk Yudches. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Well, Pasuk Tazayin first. Hashkein Baboker V'Tiatzev Reparo. Go to Paro. He'll be out by the Yam and tell him Yud Zayin Ki Emeincha Mishaleiach Esami. If you don't send out my nation, he didn't Mashliach Becha Uba Avadecha Uba Amcha Uba Vatecha Es He Arov. I'm going to send the wild animals. Send the wild animals. They're going to fill up Mitzrayim. V'hiflesi b'yomahu et Eretz Goshen. And I will separate Eretz Goshen when I send the wild animals. Asher ami omed aleha. That my nation is still there. Interesting. Relate to what we spoke about last week when we spoke about the kind of left Eretz Goshen. The Nitziv mentioned that. Here he still talks about Goshen. Levilti heyoshom arov. Right? And arov is not going to go there. Laman teda, so that they know. Ki ani Hashem b'kerev ha'aretz. So that they know that I am Hashem in the midst of the land. Says the Eben Ezra. It's fascinating. By the first three Makos, it did not say, I will separate the Jews from the non-Jews, from the Egyptians. This is the first time it says such a pasuk. By the Maka number four. The Hiflesi Bayamahu as Eretz Goshen. First time it says it. Says the Eben Ezra in two different places, just in case we thought that he didn't mean it. Says the Eben Ezra, the first three makos, Dam Svardei Akinim, affected the Jews as well. Against certain Midrashim, but it affected the Jews as well. Says the Eben Ezra, in source 5 and 6, where it's underlined, this is Zayin Chavdal and Ches Yurches, Lufi Daiti, Ki Makas Adam Vat Svardim Vakinim Haisa Kolelas HaMitzriim Veha Ivrim. Says the Eben Ezra, one of the great Rishonim, the first three Makos were on the Jews as well. Ki Acher HaKasev Nirdov. Go after the Pasuk. Look, only by Maka number 4 does Hashem say, I'm going to separate. I did make this a little bigger. Ve'ela Hashalosh Ma'at Heziku. Remember the first three, they were pretty bad, but were they terrible? Were they like lions and tigers in your house? They were frogs. You had lice. It was the blood. It was pretty bad. But was it impossible? It was a Makkah. But says the Eben Ezra, they accepted the Jews. We'll talk about this more in a minute. The Eila Hashalosh Marezika Rak Makas Ha'arov Shaisa Kasha Hashem Hifrish Ben Mesrim Ben Yisrael. Says the Eben Ezra that it says in Zayin Chafdalid and the next one also on our pasuk Umidera Chasvara Ata Hechel Paro Lakel Me'avodas Yisrael. Only now Paro started making it a little bit less. Kasha Rosh Hifrish Hashem Ben Yisrael Ben Mitzrayim Pacha Lasos Lamra. All of a sudden Paro sees this, so now he's already starting to realize. And that's what he, after this, Paru finally, after Arov, says, okay, let's talk. Only after this, what happened? Was it cumulative? No, here he realized something's going on. He says, let's talk. That's the Eben Ezra. The Radvaz in the Tshuva, Tshuva's Radvaz in Source 7, says, this is basically apikarsis. Says, how could you suggest this? Says the Radvaz in Source 7. There are a number of points that the Eben Ezra says that is radical. That's why many in certain circles don't read learn the Eben Ezra, but he's one of the Rishonim, one of the great Rishonim, right? He wrote some of our Zmiros. Says the Radvaz in source number 7. Umasha kasav Rav Avraham ben Ezra ki makas adam ba'tzvardim ba'kidim ayilim Yisrael liYisrael asur laham in davar zeh. It's also to say that kol shekein shaksu v'morim hefich. Look at the psukim. The Pesukim don't say that. V'lo yachlu Mitzriim l'shtos mayim min ha'yaor. The Mitzriim couldn't drink. V'yachru kol Mitzriim sivos ha'yaor mashma. Avol Yisrael lo yitzricham hazeh. What, the Mitzriim couldn't. How does he read the Pesukim? Kol yishosim yimei ha'yaor. U'bitzvardim. What does it say by the Tzvardeya? What does Hashem promise? U'becha, u'v'amcha. V'sar ha'tzvardim. Mimcha, u'mibatecha, mi'avadecha, mi'amecha. It's talking about the Egyptians. And also about the Kinim. V'yil motzasim an ha'mefurish. The first two makos only apply to the Egyptians. V'lo yadati im hamaka haisa gam li Yisrael maraya yishba leparo shishalach as Yisrael miartso. And furthermore, I said the Radvaz, first of all, it's against the psukim. Number two, what's the point of the makos then? If the first three makos affected the Jews also, what was the purpose of the makah? V'lo haya roi la hatriach ha-kumis b'kayotze bazeh. I shouldn't have to spill ink over this. I have to waste my ink and my quill to write this. Elo shelo liton pischon pelu dovrim asak al divrei chazal. I can't be quiet, says the Radvaz, when somebody says something like this. It's pretty strong words. Pretty strong words. So is there any way? Okay, how does he read the psukim? You got to work hard at that. You got to focus on the psukim and figure it out. But what about the other question? What was the purpose of the Makkah? So what did our pasuk say, finally? V'hiflesi, I'm going to separate Eretz Goshen. L'vilti not to put the arov. L'man teda ki ani Hashem bekerav ha'aretz. To know that I am Hashem in the midst of the land. What is that emphasizing? That's the purpose now of the fourth one. What about the first three? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, source number 8. They just put out recently a new set in English, Torah Menachem, a beautiful set of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Torah. It has different sections. It has classic questions section. It has other explanations section. As it's a beautiful set. So I had this in my notes. I heard from Rabbi Bernstein a number of years ago from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I said, oh, so I know somebody who had that in the basement. So I looked at it. Boom, it was there. So source number 8. In fact, only by the following, he doesn't quote the Ebenezer, but that's who he's talking about. Only by the following plague of wild animals does the Torah state that will set apart the land of Goshen. Here, however, there is no such statement, suggesting that there was no distinction between Egyptian and Jew. But why should the Jewish people be afflicted by a plague that was meant as a punishment for the Egyptians? The plague of lice is defined by the Torah as having a specific purpose. Namely, it led Paro's magicians to realize Etzpe Elokim. The first three Makos had a different purpose than the rest of the Makos. And it could be that each three had a different purpose. Look at the Ramban at the end of next week's Parsha. That big Ramban at the end of Parsha's bow. The Ramban talks about that different Makos had different purposes. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first three Makos were to show the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To show that he is all powerful. To show that he could do whatever he wants. Those are the first three. After that, I'm the God of the Jews. That wasn't the first three Makos, though. That wasn't the purpose. The first three wasn't about, I'm taking the Jews out. That was just to show you, I'm God. You're not God. I'm God. However, for this goal to be achieved, it was necessary that the plague affect everybody unconditionally. For only an unlimited plague would lead the magicians to conclude that it was caused by God, who is unlimited. If the Jewish people had not been affected, then the sorcerers would have perceived the plague as an act of sorcery by Moshe and Aaron, as they perceived the earlier plagues. Skip down, therefore it was necessary for the plague to be totally without limits in order for them to realize Etzpe Elokim. The purpose of the first three plagues, something that we have to realize, right? The purpose of the first three plagues was different than the rest. Some later might have been to punish, right? It might have been a set, you have to work it out. The first three, God is all powerful. The next ones, I'm the God of the Jews. Maybe the last few were B'toras Onesh. Punishment. So you can focus on all the different groupings. We have Tzach, Adash, Ba'achav as one group, right? That's what it is. Tzach, Adash, Ba'achav, right? What do we need those simanim for? What, we can't remember 10 words? Right, we have to say it again? Rabbi Yehuda knows about simanim. No, the point is, because we might be emphasizing different groups, different purposes for different groups. And the first three, amazingly, you could say this vart even without going as extreme as the Eben Ezra. But once you say that, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe notes that the pashas of this pasuk, so then, maybe, that is what the purpose is. Okay. Continuing. Says the Torah, in Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin, going down now to Dever. Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin. Dever, all the animals die. And Paro wasn't so sure. He saw all the Egyptian animals died. So he sent a messenger to Goshen. Check out if any of those Jewish animals died. So what happens? All the mikne, all the cattle of Mitzrayim die. And from the Jewish cattle, not one died. No one died. He hardens his heart. He asked Rav Sternbach, source number 9. One second, what does the pasuk say? He heard there were no animals of the Jews that died, so he hardened his heart. Maybe just the opposite. He's checked. There were no animals from the Jews that died, and therefore, maybe he thinks about setting them free. Just the opposite. What does it mean that he sent, and he found out that not one of the Jewish animals died, and therefore he hardened his heart? What's the hemshach? What's the connection of the psukim? Two answers. First from Rav Sternbach. It says Rav Sternbach in source number 9, in Tam Vadas, the kasha where it's underlined. Hello, Adaraba. Just the opposite. Mikana Yitzorach Lahakir Binaflos Abore. No, if he sends that none of the Jewish animals died, that should be a hakara to him. Lahotas Alamis Velachzer B'tshuva. Right? He should be Chozer B'tshuva. Amnami kosher bleib chasmin. He says, no, you know what you see from here? This could relate to our first part that we said tonight. Laman mikan yisodas b'kochas ha-nefesh. We learn a little bit about human nature from what Paro did. Sheteva ha-adam she'ino mode b'shem ofan ba'ashmato. It's the nature of a person who is proven wrong, who is on his way to be proven wrong. What do we usually do as we see we're about to lose an argument? As we see that we're about to lose something, what do we usually do? We dig our feet in and put up a good fight. We get more stubborn. We get more difficult when we see that we're starting to head down. And we convince ourselves that we're not wrong, even though the whole world knows we're wrong. We convince ourselves, because that's what we do, because we can't deal with it. V'tamid roeh atzmo yashar, u'metareitz pe'ulosav ba'amaslot shonot. And we excuse our actions with all different excuses. U'bishah denire l'kalecha she'utah. And at a time when it's clear that a person is mistaken, dafka oz, specifically then, u'mishtana l'kseh hasheni. We go to the other extreme. U'misakish o'yoser. We become more difficult. And therefore, that's exactly what Paro did here. Right? When he realized, he sent, he hears, none of them died. He says, oh, those Jews. I hate those Jews. And what did he convince himself? He should have seen, oh my goodness, Yad Hashem. No, just the opposite. He digs in and he becomes more difficult, says the Tam Vadas. One idea. But then there's another idea suggested by the Malbim, which we'll expand upon a little bit. Malam says, if you look at the pasuk that we just read a little carefully, there's one extra word in there. The first pasuk of Pasuk Vav said, none of the cattle of the Jews died. When we make that B'nei Yisrael, lo meis achad. If you look at the next pasuk, Vayishlach Paro, Paro says, v'hini lo meis B'nei Yisrael, ad echad. What does that mean? Right? None of the Jews' cattle died, ad echad. It says the Malbim, there are three places in Tanakh where it says ad echad. Right. One is by Kriyas Yamsuf. One is by the Milchama that Bnei Yisrael had at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim with Sisra's forces. They killed all of them out, Ad Echad, and here. It says the Malbim, in the other places, Chazal Darshan Ad Echad means there was one left. Right, by Kriyas Yamsuf. Rabbi Mashakot, source number 6. The Mashakotzav l'kamon, lo nishar b'em ad echad, pirish chazal, sheparo nishar. Remember that medrash? Paro was left. He was left on the rock in the middle of Kriyas Yamsuf. Moshe, what are you doing? Right? He was left there. Ad echad means there was one left. Ratzal omar, shepirish ad v'lo ad bechval. Right? Ad means, but not including. Up until not including. Sheechad nishar. V'chein Mashakotzav b'shoftim, also by Sisra. It said they killed out all his entire army. Ad echad means Sisra was left. I mean, the next pasuk after it says ad echad, it says Sisra went to Yal's tent. Then he was going to die in a few minutes. But up until that point, they were all killed out ad echad. So you know what it must be? Says the Malbim. Here too, ad echad means there was one left. There was one animal that didn't die. Why didn't the cow die? The Yesh Lomar, says the Malbim, his creative suggestion, Shahaya, there was one animal left. It was the animal of the son of the Isha Yisraelis Vehu Ben Ish Mitzri. The son of the Makalel, right? The son of the one who we know was the son of the Imparshas Emor, he had a Jewish mother and a Mitzri father, right? It was the son, right? The Mitzri father that Moshe killed, and it was this boy who went out then and was Makalel. So it was the child of this the animal of the child of this union. Shebedini Yisrael Hayek Mitzri, and because by the Jews you go by the mother, I'm sorry, you go by the. The father in terms of ownership, right? And therefore I'm getting confused. Let's read it. Shebedini Yisrael haya kemitzri, kamachakasav imkomo, uparachashav shumi Yisrael. V'kivan shebehemto mesa lo niskayim dvar Moshe. Just the opposite. Lo mesa dachad means one. I said the opposite wrong before. One animal of the Jews died. That one was left. None of them died. One died. Which one died? The one animal, the son, the animal of the son of this union. So according to Jewish law, it was like a Mitzri animal, because property goes by the father, so it deserved to die. But Paro said, hey, this kid's Jewish, he has a Jewish mother. So Paro says, aha, look, one of them died. So that's why, says the Malbim, he hardened his heart. Because he checked by the Jews, ad echad, there was one that died, okay. What's the message? Every Egyptian animal died. Every single one. Thousands. One animal died from the Jews. Ah, the whole thing's a fake. What a coincidence, says Paro. Is that amazing? This is a godly act. What do you mean? One of them died. One of them died. When a person has the attitude of, I'm not interested in believing. They have the attitude of it's all sheker. It's all coincidence. You can have the greatest act of God staring at you in the face. Every single animal in your country dies. And there's one measly cow that died in the other country. Ah, it's all fake. It wasn't Yad Hashem. You could have the Yad Hashem staring at you in the face, but if we have the mentality that I don't want to believe, you could try to convince the person from today till tomorrow. They're going to find something that is going to take them, ah, it's all a fake. And we find this in a number of places. One of the more famous ones is the Gemara in Brachos Daf Gimel, second Daf in Shas. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, By Makas Bechoros, Kachatzos, Halayla, Ani Yotzei B'toch Mitzrayim. Kachatzos, the Gemara says, what do you mean Kachatzos? Like. About midnight. Kachatzos. What do you mean about midnight? Say Bachatzos. Say Bachatzos. So why doesn't it say Bachatzos? Says the Gemara. Maybe the astrologer watches in Mitzrayim are going to be off by a minute. And if I say Bachatzos, Erchatzos, they'll look at their clock and they'll see it happened at 12:01, at 11:59, not at 12. And they'll say, oh, Moshe was a liar. That's why Moshe says about 12. So even if it's 12:02, they'll still realize it's Machas Bechoros. Think about it. 12:01, every firstborn in Egypt dies. Everyone, and not only everyone, but every father who was Mizane and knows that the third child in the next house is really his Bechor, he also dies. Who knows that? Who knows that kid's a Bechor besides me and the woman? And that kid drops dead. Everyone! But it happened at 12:01. Oh, what a coincidence. Man, food poisoning. You know, it's unbelievable! What does the Gemara say? Right, the Gemara in Brachos. The Kiva de Moshe have a yada lama le mechachatzos. Ksavar shema yitu asanini paro v'yor Moshe badayhu. What a faker. What a liar, Moshe. He said it was going to happen at 12, it happened at 12:01. Oh, what a... When a person has the attitude of, I don't want to believe, I'm not interested, you could have the greatest nisim b'niflos, and they'll just say, forget it. Paro sees one animal. Adachod! Forget it, it's all a fake. Right, all the Egyptians... Another example. The Ramban in 2 weeks Parsha, Parshas Beshalach. Right, what is it? How does it describe Kriyas Yamsuf? Vayei Moshe yado al hayam. Moshe sticks up his hand. Vayolach Hashem es hayam baruch adim azah. The east wind, he brings the east winds, and all of a sudden the Yamsuf splits. Everybody's watching. Unbelievable. It was the greatest revelation that the Jewish people ever had. Even more than Matan Torah, in a sense. Rasa shivchal hayam, mashalo ra yecheskel ben buzi. Greater than the Maisa Merkava, Kriyas Yamsuf. The fire went away. The Jews start walking through the Yamsuf, it's dry. What do the Egyptians say? Wow. Wow. We're turning around. We're not starting up. It's only been a few days since Makas Bechoros. Their firstborns are dead. Their money is on the camels and the donkeys that are in front of them. They have no money. They have no firstborns. They're here in the desert because there's this maniac king that schlepped them out here. All right? So what do they say? Wow. What a big tide today. Wow, amazing. Look at that, I never saw that before. Kodesh Baruch Hu, says the Ramban, made the east wind to give them a little Pesach, a little opening to think. Maybe it's not Yad Hashem. Right? Hayo ratzon lefan of Yisbarach levake ayam beruach kadim miyabeshes. Kodesh Baruch Hu dafka brought a dry east wind. Sheyera'eh ke'ilu haruach yamachreves. It's as if the wind is doing it. Somebody has that attitude, you could have the Kriyas Yamsuf. You could have Makas Bechoros. And it's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference. Rav Yisrael Salanter once said, we should always try to deepen our emuna and question our emuna to deepen it, to look for answers to all our questions. But he said, here in Eretz Yisrael, we say it every day. First we say, Ein Kelokeinu, and then we say, Mi Kelokeinu. You should say, Mi Kelokeinu first. First you should ask the question, and then get the answer. And Rav Yisrael Salanter says, when it comes to questions of Emunah, Ein Kelokeinu, that comes first. There's no one like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Emuna. We don't delve into questions about Emuna in order to figure out whether we are going to believe. We believe. That's Emuna, step one. Then, once we have that base attitude, belief, Enkel Okeinu, then you can say, oh, let me try to appreciate it more. Let me try to figure it out. Mikel Okeinu. And then no Delel Okeinu. But first comes Enkel Okeinu. Because if we start off with the questions, there's a lot pushing us the other way. Here, Rabbi Yaakov in Source number 9 gives another example, which we'll skip for now. Sorry? Why was he a Mitzvah Dinei Yisrael? Because I think property at that time went by the father. Or you could say, before Matan Torah, everything was paternal. Right? With the Ramban and the Parshas Emor talks about that. Before Matan Torah, did we have paternal descent or not? Okay, what could we... What should we do now? What should we do now? There's a lot to do, and there's time is... let's do one more. Let's do one more, and I'll leave the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh for you to look at on your own. Okay, I mentioned this in the Daf Shir a number of times, which, by the way, if anybody... ProjectSinai.org, every day the Daf is up every morning, so I mentioned the Parsha Shir in the Daf Shir, and the Daf Shir in the Parsha Shir. So it's... Olam, I call it Torah Kula Inyan Echad Hu. So ProjectSinai.org, if anybody, we'd love to have you as part of our team. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, Simin Kufayin Tes. Well, let's backtrack for a minute. We are introduced in this Parsha to some of our favorite characters in the Torah. And those are the Itztagninim of Paro. Those great sorcerer magicians in Paro's court. You just picture them trying to make water into blood, trying to create frogs, and finally realizing by kinim that Chazal say they can't make anything that's smaller than a size of a barley seed. They realize etz velokim, right? So they can picture them trying to convince Paro it's all sorcery, it's all magic. With that in mind, says the Shulchan Aruch in Yeradeya, if somebody is bitten by a scorpion, you're allowed to say incantations upon that, even on Shabbos. We just had a shir last Shabbos. There's an isser of refu on Shabbos. How could you do that? The afal pi she'ein hadavar moel klum, says the Shulchan Aruch. Even though the incantations are just foolish, they don't help at all. Hoel umisukanu, but since he's in a danger, he tiru kadeshul teref taito alav. The person thinks that it'll help, so you know what? It's a panacea. Let him do these incantations, even though it's foolish and meaningless, and it's not going to help at all. Who's the Shulchan Aruch quoting here? As you would have guessed, who would the Shulchan Aruch be quoting here? Not just based on context, but who does he generally quote? The Rambam. The Rambam shita is that these lachashim are foolish and meaningless and they don't work. But you know what? You want to do it on Shabbos? Wonderful. So here's the Gra. Right, this is a very, if you know the Gra, this is a very out-of-character Gra. The fact that he has a six-line Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch, when usually he just says, ayin in this Gemara, and you'll figure it out. Right, but all of a sudden the Gra here has five lines, where the Gra says, in Source 11, HaRambam, the Kakarach Pershim Mishnais. Right, this is the Rambam Shita, that incantations don't work. So the Gra is about to jump on the Rambam, who rejects incantations, he rejects Shadim, demons. He rejects anything of the sort in Chazal. The Rambam says never happened. And it's not true, and you're misunderstanding it, and it was a dream, and Avram never spoke to Malachim, and he never spoke to a donkey. In general, I mean, these are all not exactly the same, but the Gra is focusing on the Lachashim and the Kemiyas and the Shadim and the Kshafim, which the Rambam all said is Sheker. Says the Gra, Aval kol haboim acharav chilko alav. Everybody argues on the Rambam. You know why? Because it's mefurish Gemaras. Shaharei harbi lachashim namru b'gemara. What about all the incantations of the Gemara? How can you see incantations don't work? The Gemara is full of them. V'hu nimshach achar hafilosofia. He is influenced after his philosophical bent, says the Gra. V'lachein kasav. That's why he wrote, shekshafim v'shemos v'lachashim v'shedim v'kemios hakohu sheker. Aval kvar hiku oso al kod kado. What does that mean? He's already been banged over the head. Kod. Shrei matzinu harbe ma'asiyos b'gemara. You find many stories in the Gemara. Al pi shemos v'kshafim, right, with shemos and kshafim, and he quotes a bunch of Gemaras about this. Skip a few lines. V'hatorah he'ida v'ayutaninim v'ayin zohar v'kimiyin v'harbi mechonos. Skip down, second to last line. Very strong language of the Gra. Vahilos philosophia hitato. Berov lekha, Right? The philosophy caused him to err. Right? With his great lekach, lefaresha gemara akol b'derech halitzi, to interpret the gemara as not a literal meaning. V'la akar osam mipashtan, to be okra from his pshat. Says the Gra, v'chas v'shalom eini ma'amin b'hem v'lo mehem v'lo mehamonam. I don't believe a word of it. El akol hadvar, and the Gra wasn't, the Gra was a rationalist as well. The Gra wasn't a shadim kind of person. But the Gra is saying, the pashtas of shas. There's a pnimius which we might not understand. Lo pnimius shall bale ha philosophia, shehem chitzonius, ella shall bale ha emes. That is, could be, top three charif gruz of all time. But that's the gra. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's my job to defend the Rambam. What does the Rambam do with shas? What does the Rambam do with it? What does the Rambam do with the Chartumim in the Torah? Magic. Kishuf. Says the Rambam Yaakov of Yaakov Kamenetsky, which again is certain pieces of his in Sefer Shmos and Sefer Breishis are just defining. Says the Rambam Yaakov, I'll just mention it outside, and it's right here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout history has to keep a level playing field. When there are great kochos of Tahara in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring in great kochos of tumah in the world in order to keep our Bechira Chafshis. If the kochos of Tahara go way down, so too the kochos of tumah go way down. This answers it all. There are no Shadim now. Says Rabbi Yaakov, there are also no Baskols now. Bizman HaGemara, there were Shadim, and there were Kshafim, and there was Koach HaTumah. Especially in Tanakh, what Shaul HaMelech? He's not talking about there's no Kishuf there. What happened with Shmuel? He was dead. How was he talking to him? Right? So of course there was Kishuf there, but you know why? Because then there was Nevuah. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to people, then the Koach HaTumah also was very strong. Because it's got to be even, it's got to be level. And Bizman HaGemara, when there was still Baskols going out from Shemayim to let you know certain things, so then there's also Shadim that were prevalent. Says Rabbi Yaakov. But Bizman HaZeh, when the Koach of there's no more Baskols, there's no Manavian, there's no more. So that's why all of these don't exist either. Already he suggests Bizman HaRambam. That's the Chiddush. He suggests that that's what the Rambam means. It doesn't sound that way from the Rambam. The Rambam sounds like he rejects it totally. But that's what he suggests. Lefichach, line 24. You can read the whole thing afterwards. Lefichach, kozman shayis nevuah yemofsim nazam adik shofim. When there was nevuah, there was kishuf. But afterwards, mikimash ayim shtamshim bebasko hayagam ki kochos na'alim chetziam ruchanim kamo shedim. Fine. Masha'enki kishachodu bali mofes. Nasa kol ragashmi espilvad. Umeata rakaseichel vaharotun ishpatim nevakim. So you got to keep the playing field, and therefore he had to. There was no anymore. That's what he says in the next column. The nira lefizenuchol yashiv edas Rambam. I can explain the Rambam that holds that shadim don't have any achiz. There's no mitzias of shadim. It's all sheker, and they all argue with him. The Gra. Ulefimashak kasafti. Maybe he doesn't quote the Gra by name. He doesn't want you to look it up. Ulefimashak kasafti efshar shesover harambam the bizmana gemara shohayu amoraim shebekocha maylachius mesim. What did some of the Amoraim did tchias amesim? Right. We all remember the story in Purim. One of the Amoraim killed the other Amora because he was drunk on Purim. And he died for him and he came back alive. It's amazing. Rabbi Shachter, they come Shachter, Reb Zera. Unbelievable. So, the Amoraim, it's amazing. L'chol nefos v'chadome. Behekra chokri gam l'kochos shal shedin v'chadome. So you have kochos of tchias amesim. You have kochos of tumah also. Ki ze l'umad ze asa elokim. Deim koach ha-kdusha b'tokfo. Kamochein koach ha-tumah b'tokfo. V'rak b'yameinu. Shigam kochos ha-rechaniyim nelmu v'namogu. Kamochein shuv. Ein achizu b'mesias l'inyin shedim. Vidok. Says Rabbi Yaakov, you got to keep the playing field even, and that is why, that is a defense of the Rambam. So again, our job is just to make the kochos of Tahara very strong. And maybe the chizuk could be that the kochos of Tumah aren't so bad right now, right? So we could overcome, because the kochos of Tahara aren't so. Imagine what the kochos of Tumah were beforehand, if this is the kochos of Tumah that aren't so strong, what we live in today. Either way, this is Rabbi Yaakov defending the Rambam. Okay, just to leave you, I won't mention it, but you can look at the Zohar Chaim HaKadosh with the Sefer HaChinuch, back on the first pasuk of the Parsha, he gives a little deeper understanding into what the tochacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning, comparing him to the Avos, what exactly was the message there in Source 13 and 14. Okay, we'll stop here, and again, keep the check the email, the Beit Shemesh list, and the exactly for the shiur next week. It'll either be, I hope, Bezrat Hashem, either Sunday or Monday night next week, because Tuesday I'm not around. And then the following week, I get back on Wednesday afternoon. The following week, I hope, believe it or not, on Thursday night, to be able to give the shiur. Okay?